Luke chapter 2 in your Bibles. Let's look at a few verses before we pray together in Luke chapter 2. And then as I noted earlier, we'll be looking at Luke 19 in a few moments as well. Luke chapter 2, Luke chapter 19. And over there will be a text that we have looked at many times in the past. But Luke chapter 2 verse 9 says this: "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore or very afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And I ask, Father, that as we look at eternal things, your eternal truth, that all of the distractions of this world, all of the burdens of the flesh, all of the things that would pull us away from you in truth, dear Father, would be cast aside, that you would help us now. Help us focus on truth and eternal things so that when we walk out these doors tonight, we'll be more aligned with your word and your will. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to look again. Notice verse 11 of this text. The Bible uses an interesting expression in the great announcement of the birth of Christ. Of course, this is the very beginning of his earthly work. Verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, what I want you to notice in particular are these two words, this day in the city of David. You're wondering why that's, quote, so interesting, as I noted earlier. Then I want you to think about these words and the expression and what he was saying in connection with how they're used again. Almost exactly like this at the very end of Christ's life and earthly ministry. In this text, the message is that of an announcement. Christ, it's called an advent. Christ is here. The Lord Jesus, the King of the city of David, was cause for what? Great joy, they said. Hope and praise to God. So that this day was surely their day. This was a great day. This was a momentous day. This was an opportune day. A joyous day. This was a new day of great potential and responsibility and grace by virtue of what had happened on this day. And that brings us to the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. So turn to chapter 19. The end of his ministry, beginning in chapter 19, and I want you to notice some verses, and notice how similar the language is to before, verse 37, Luke 19. "And when he was come nigh, even now, unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh." That's an advent too. "In the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Well, can I ask you, where does that sound familiar? It's rejoicing. It's praising God. The King has come. Peace, glory to God in the highest. Same language, really, almost identical. Verse 41, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day." This was their day. You'll notice it's the same expression in "this thy day," Jesus said. In fact, in verse 44, you'll see he says, "This is the day of thy visitation." Now, back in Luke 2, it was the birth of Christ and the appearing, the advent. That was their day. "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That was their day, and most of them in that day didn't even know it. Here he is at the end now. Think about that. He's at the very end of his earthly ministry, and as he enters the city of Jerusalem for the very last time, most of them still, on that day, didn't know it was their day, their day of visitation, but it was. Verse 40 calls it the time of thy visitation. "In this thy day," Jesus said. What did he say? "If they had known the peace that had belonged to them." The Prince of Peace had come. If they had known it was their day, it was for the very same reasons, beloved, as his birth. And in the same announcement as the birth, their day, as they were laying garments and palm leaves in the way along his path. And you know, for all of the same reasons as his birth, and all the same reasons as his death, this day, February the 22nd, 2017, I want to tell you, and I want to show you from the Bible, and I want to encourage you and admonish you, this day, not yesterday. Oh, pastor, for the good old days. I was reminiscing with one of our members yesterday, and he was talking about the good old days. And I don't mind that. I like to hear about the good old days. My dad told me about the good old days all the years he was alive. But, oh, pastor, when America was and when the Bible was and the good old days, that's good. That was your day then. This is your day. Not just yesterday, not just tomorrow. This is your day. The only question is tonight, do you know it? Do you embrace it? Do you understand it in the will of God? I want to show you a few reasons in the Bible why both of these are so similar, the birth and the end, the death of the Lord Jesus, and how earlier the angels announced that particular day belonged to those people and belonged to them in the sense that both of these texts refer to the same things, mostly to the peace of God, the things which belonged to thy peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It was, the angel said, good tidings of great joy, bringing goodwill toward all men. It was their day. It really was. Now, I don't know what you consider your day. You know, someone finds a $10 bill and they say, wow, this is my day. That is really my day. I found a $10 bill. Well, you know, it's not really your day. When $10 is worth $3 and gas is $2 and Congress has spent $1 billion, $1 trillion, someone says, this is really my day. I want a free hour at the hair salon. That might be your day. It's not my day. Amen. I'm not sharing that. That text in Luke 2 says, good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. Pastor, was that hyperbole back then? Exaggeration, all people on earth, he said, peace and goodwill toward all men. Look at verse 41 again. And when he was come near, he beheld the city. He wept over the city, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. Same theme. Again, folks, it really was their day, not because of some fleeting, temporal, material bonus. It's my day, I got a raise. No. Not because of some fading glory or pleasure. This was their day to discover and to receive the deep and the abiding peace of God. Not an easy thing, not a cheap thing, not a minor thing, a great thing. Let me put it to you this way. This was their day, in both instances, to recognize eternal victory, security, comfort, strength. Those are wrapped up in the Bible word for peace. And it was on this very same hill as our text that our Lord Jesus said that he would have gathered them together as a hen doth gather her chicks. What's that a picture of? Security. Comfort. Peace. Assurance. Now folks, this is God making a promise to men. And you know something? That kind of peace, that kind of glory, that kind of blessing that makes us want to praise God and glory to God in the highest, that's when it truly is your day. Is it your day right now? I'm telling you it is. When you look at the beginning and the ending of this text in Luke, the beginning and the ending of Christ's ministry on this earth, and the reasons why the message was that this was their day, you will see immediately why, for the very same reasons, the exact same reasons, this day, right now, in February of 2017, is and ought to be embraced as your day. This is your day. Why is that? Well, number one, you'll notice it's because of the presence, the abiding presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 37, and when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. By the way, why would the stones cry out? Because these words were in fulfillment to a prophecy. And you understand that their creator, the stone's creator, was right there. In fulfillment, as we noted, he was in their midst in fulfillment of centuries of Old Testament prophecies, exactly as it was in the first announcement in Luke chapter 2 at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you, beloved, that that presence, that guaranteed absolute presence of the Lord Jesus Christ is reason enough to make it your day and their day. Now, I don't know about you tonight, but there is something that I know. And that I know right now, beyond any shadow of any doubt, there is something that I have absolute assurance of, that completely changes everything about February 22nd, 2017. And that is this: I know that Christ is here. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the Creator, is in our presence. Now, I want you to think for a moment about what a difference that one truth and reality makes in the lives of God's people. I'm telling you, if the Lord Jesus appeared physically and walked through those doors and came to this pulpit and introduced himself, everybody in this room, if not everybody in this room and everybody who came across him out there in Awana, immediately their lives would be different like that. Does he have to appear physically? When he has given you the absolute promise, I know that Christ is in our midst, and I want you to think about the difference. There was nothing. You say, why is that so life-changing? Why is that a difference maker in this night? Think about it this way. In both Luke chapter 2 and in Luke chapter 19, which 33 years later, in these two places in history, it was an incredible thing to tell the people of God, the devout Jews, that this was their day. This is your day. You know why that was and why that is? Because there was nothing in their daily lives that attested to that. For example, if you looked at the government, the political world that they were all under and surrounded by in that day, one in three people was enslaved by the Roman Empire. We could take this entire section and just this attendance tonight. This many people were slaves. Bond slaves to the Roman Empire. Not only that, they were controlled, all of them. All believers were under the control politically of an idolatrous, paganistic, hedonistic empire. They had no chance of rising out of poverty for the most part. Their religion was corrupt to its core. Women were treated like chattel. Faithfulness was met, any kind of faithfulness, true faithfulness to God, was met by opposition and persecution. Their priests, their spiritual leaders were completely worthless as emissaries of God. So that the idea of justice or equity for any true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Jehovah, folks, it was non-existent. It really was a time of complete and total despair for anybody who would be called a child of the Most High God. And you know, what the Lord Jesus told them was, this is your day. Now they could look around and say, no way. But it was still true. This was their day. Pastor, it's a terrible day we're living in. Our government leaders are corrupt. Check. Our media is sold out to money or an agenda. Check. Agreed. Our financial system is broken, probably more so than any of us in this room ever realize. Our so-called educational institutions are anemic, actually dangerous. Our courts are hostile to Christianity and Judeo-Christian ethic our country was founded upon. It's true. The icons of America, of the American way that we used to talk. Remember the old jingle was baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. They go together in the good old USA. I was a junior in high school when that commercial came out 25 years ago. But look how even that's changed. Baseball, spoiled millionaires, prima donnas, hot dogs and apple pie, food police says you can't eat it, Chevrolet, it's now a hybrid car, runs on a combination of state and federal bailout money, amen? Government motives. Someone said on a quiet night you can hear a Chevrolet rusting. Pastor, this day and age, oh, this day in which we're living, Hollywood bubbleheads are getting paid millions of dollars to belittle this book and Christianity. The definition of marriage has been turned upside down. The institution has been destroyed in this country, in the eyes of the world. The First Lady reads the Lord's Prayer and everybody goes crazy. But in Congress, they pray to Allah and say Allahu Akbar and nobody says anything. It's messed up, Pastor. It's a crazy day. It's a terrible day in which we are living in this country. I don't disagree with any of those things. The only thing I would say to that is, this is our day. Matter of fact, this week is your week, and though I don't know what 2017 holds and how it's going to end, I know this much. I know it's our year. And if you're a child of God, I know it's your year. How do you know that, Pastor? Because of the election? No. I know it because it's His year. And His presence goes with us every single day. I'll tell you what. You have a failed Washington using imaginary money from a failed treasury. And I don't see any great signs of them changing that. As much as they're trying, some in leadership are trying. And that's a recipe for great, great failure. We've seen this movie before in other countries. And it doesn't end well. It ends horribly. And we're still going down that path. So that may happen. And the world cries peace, peace, and there is no peace. In Europe, they're saying peace, peace, nothing to see here. And there is no peace. But see, that's because there's no peace in here. And that's because they don't know His presence. But you do. You do know His presence. Matter of fact, you know the Prince of Peace. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter who the Caesar is that sits on the throne at the time. It doesn't matter what Herod or what Caiaphas, these were their leaders, happens to be making the headlines on any given day, any time in history. Your king, my king, is Christ. He's the King of Kings. If your king is Christ, then this day is your day because you have His presence. And tomorrow morning when you wake up and you read in the headlines some horrible thing has been revealed about our media, about our government, or somewhere else halfway across the world, recognize that Christ is with you. It's not just His presence. I want you to notice it was their day, also number two, because of the power, not just the presence of Christ, but the power of the cross. Look at verse 9. Please don't miss this. And Jesus has said unto him, this day. Now, let me just stop here for a minute, because a lot of people on that day would have said, look around, it's horrible. Between Herod and Caesar and Caiaphas, the corruption of this day is so bad, there's nothing to rejoice in. It's just time for moaning and groaning and complaining and wishful thinking or wistful thinking. But not for this guy. This is a great day for this guy. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. See, it may not be a great day at the White House or the State House, or some other house. But it can be, every day can be a great day in your house. If you recognize that Christ is there, look at it. Verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also was a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. What a day. Verse 47, and he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Wait a minute. Terrible day. They're seeking to destroy him. Yeah, but he taught daily. People were getting saved every day. People were being taught the truth every day. It was a great day. I was saved in the early 1970s, 12-year-old. You looked around our country in those days, Vietnam was ripping our country apart at the seams. There were so many problems. We lived near Fort Bragg, North Carolina. And as a boy, at the age of 12, we'd ride our bikes to Fort Bragg and on Hay Street. The hippies and the protesters and the drugs and the prostitution. It was unbelievable how sin was running. The country was just falling apart. But I rode a bus to church and I heard the gospel and I got saved. And that day was a great day. It was not a dark day. It was a glorious day. Why? Because Christ was there. He was there with me. Now he was there in my heart. And you know, beloved, in Luke chapter 2, at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shepherds received, remember, a very specific message from the angel of God. Here's what he said unto you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David what? A general? No. A president? No. A leader? A teacher? None of that. What he said was something that 90% of the world still to this moment doesn't yet fully understand. He said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior came. Let me ask you something. What do you think of in your mind when you think of the word Savior? What's your concept? Do you think of a person whose great wealth comes in and rescues somebody from bankruptcy or poverty? Or do you picture someone in the United States Coast Guard who jumps into the ocean from a helicopter and pulls a victim out of the water? He's a Savior. As a deliverer, as it were. Or maybe your idea of a Savior is somebody who prevents a man from committing suicide or destroying his life with drugs or alcohol. What is your concept of the word Savior? I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, none of these is strong enough or adequate enough to capture what the Bible means. Back in Luke chapter 2, when it says, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Let me illustrate it. You may remember back in October of 1993, an American convoy in Mogadishu, Somalia, was ambushed. It was targeted by RPGs. It should have never happened. We had a weak administration. So many ways our country has been through these years. But these RPGs were supplied by a warlord named Muhammad Aidid, Somalian warlord. One American died, others were trapped. Now, they had Delta Force operators, they had aviation support. And most of you know the story, many of you do. They came in and they, in a 30-minute drop, it's called drop and snatch operation, they came to rescue, but it turned into a nightmare, a 24-hour nightmare. Two Black Hawk helicopters went down, and they came down in the middle of town, this angry mob of Somali militiamen, Muslims, that began to strike at the U.S. forces. They were lying there injured. Two Delta snipers by the name of Randy Sugart and Gary Gordon begged, persisted against the commander's orders. And again, there was a lot of weakness in some of the hierarchy back then. And they just said, look, let us go back to the crash site. We want to protect our fellow soldiers. You know, the motto is leave no man behind. So, inserted down by what's called a fast rope from a helicopter, they saved the crew, in order to save the crew from these angry, hostile mobs that were closing in to kill our fellow American soldiers. Both of those Delta snipers were killed. And a bad scene turned even worse. More rescuers were now sent in. It's a fiasco. And they were going to extract the living and the dead, and all done, 18 U.S. soldiers died. Remember, some were dragged through the streets. Should have never happened, really. 73 of them were severely injured. And most of them during the rescue, the evacuation operation. Those two men, Shugart and Gordon, were posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Because when they died, their efforts bought a lot of time, saved a lot of their fellow soldiers. But at the Medal of Honor ceremony, now you want to say all that to lead to this about the word Savior. At the Medal of Honor ceremony, one of the rescued soldiers who spoke on their behalf said this. He said that I, for the first time in my life, understand the word Savior. You see, here, beloved, you have a better illustration, a reminder of what the word Savior really means in the Bible, because a Savior is a bloodied rescuer. In other words, it is someone who saves, but at great personal cost. And so it is that back in Luke chapter 2, when Simeon was told, "This is your day, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord," he also, the same man, said to Mary, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul." He told that Savior's mother that a sword will pierce your heart. Why is that? Because unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior who at great personal cost would give his blood to ensure eternal salvation. You see, folks, it really was their day. And it really is our day. This was the day that the power of the cross brought full salvation to the hearts of men. And if you want to know why it was still their day, even in the midst of all that corruption, right? Even in the midst of all the persecution and the tribulation that did not end after the resurrection. In fact, it was ramped up. Then look no further than Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ dealt the final death blow to Satan and his kingdom. Pastor, don't you realize that people in America are being abused for simply reading a Bible in a classroom in a public school? Don't you realize that the Ten Commandments has already been removed from displays where they had been for decades? Some places a century in this country. Don't you realize? Yes, yes, and yes. But do you realize that people are getting saved and delivered from the power of Satan every day? Not just here, where we feel as if it's horrible that a display of the Ten Commandments was taken down, but in Cuba, in China, where it is illegal to preach like I'm preaching tonight. In other words, look, this is our day as people of God all over the world because of the power of the cross. You know, Norma McCorvey died the other day, last week, a couple days ago. Remember Norma McCorvey? Roe v. Wade. She's the woman from Texas that lawyers and pro-abortion people gathered around. They waited for years to find the right person that they could take to the Supreme Court. A lot of people don't realize it, but that woman never had an abortion because it didn't get to the court in time. She never had an abortion. So Norma McCorvey died the other day. Roe v. Wade, named after her. Boy, Pastor, I'd hate to be in her shoes standing before God. Actually, she's in heaven as a child of God. Because even in that day, as the one who was, humanly speaking, responsible for making abortion the law of the land, one day the Holy Spirit of God convicted her heart, and she fell on her knees, and she accepted Christ as her Savior. And she became one of the greatest pro-life proponents. She came out and said that those people abused her situation and was grateful to God, not only for saving her, but for saving her baby's life. In other words, no matter how dark it is, where or how Satan's working, God is working. And God is still saving souls. That's the power of the cross. The hymn says, "Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears, dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay. The debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do." You see, folks, the burdens are lifted at Calvary. And every day is your day when you know the Savior of the world. I was studying today at a Mexican restaurant, and a little Mexican restaurant down on near Northlake, and the waitress came to me and said, "This is your lucky day." I said, "It is? Why?" She said, "This is National Margarita Day." Now, I had my Bible out. Why she didn't connect the two, I said, "Really?" She said, "Yep." So, and I mean, I said, "No, thank you." She came back, "Don't forget, it's National Margarita Day." I let her know I didn't need margaritas. And I'm thankful that National Margarita Day doesn't mean anything to me. Today is National Jesus Save Souls Day. And tomorrow is National Jesus Save Souls Day, because somebody's getting saved somewhere every day. That's the power of the cross. You have the presence of Christ today. You have the power of the cross today. And there are people all around us who need that power. Finally, third reason why this is truly their day as the people of God, it was the promise of his coming. Here in chapter 19, look at these verses again, verse 29. "And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against or near you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Verse 32, and they that were sent went their way and found," I love these words, "and found even as he had said unto them." Now, beloved, most of you in this room know very well that this cult our Lord is riding upon was in direct fulfillment to two 500-year-old prophecies. Now, our country's been around for almost 300 years. Add 200 more years to that. 500 years ago, somebody prophesied in February 22nd, 2017, that a man would show up on the scene and he would tell you to go find a colt upon which nobody sat and just tell him the master has need and he'll give them to him. It's not possible. So this cult was the fulfillment of prophecy. The very words we read earlier, I mean the very words out of their mouths, "Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord," those were in direct fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. The reaction of Christ's enemies were in direct fulfillment of centuries-old Old Testament prophecies. In your mind, if you go back to Luke chapter 2, you will remember that at his birth, dozens and dozens of centuries-old prophecies were fulfilled according to the promise of his coming. In other words, look, this wasn't their day because they found something like a $10 bill. "Ah, this is my day now." It wasn't their day because they stumbled about something. This was their day because the glory of God planned and designed and prophesied and proposed and the coming of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Simeon, that aged priest, he held the baby Jesus in his arms. It says there that he was a man of God who, quote, "waited for the consolation of Israel." How long had he waited, Pastor? How long did that godly man wait? Folks, he waited his entire life. But that's not all. His priesthood, of which he was a part, had been waiting for 400 years. His nation had been waiting for 4,000 years. The sons of Adam waited 4,000 years. So that now, because of the promise of his coming, this was their day. And yes, for the very same reasons. This is your day. You're a child of God tonight. This is your day as a believer because you have his presence, you have the power of the cross, and you have the promise of his coming. The promise of his coming. It's your day today. The only question is, do you know it? Do you act like it? Do you know why it is? Do you embrace it in the will of God every day? This is our time to be busy and fruitful as people of God. This is not a time to sit back and throw our hands up and say, oh, look at everything's going to pot. The Bible, look, folks, right here, guess what the Bible tells us right here? It's all going to go to pot. That's what it says. I mean, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. That's what the Bible tells us. But keep on reading. It gets better. Because we have the promise. So that we are told that this day is our day to get busy. Souls need to be saved. There is Satan and sin to battle in our lives and in our society. There are missionaries to be sent out. There are young people to be taught and protected and prayed for. This is the best day for you to live because this is the day God has put you here. And this is your day. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that we will recognize, dear God, that everything that was true of the situation and of the people in Luke chapter 2 and in Luke chapter 19, separated by 33 years, everything that was true then when it was their day is true for us. And this is our day. That for some people, it will be said, this day salvation has come into this house. May we be a part of that great work. May this church be a part of it. May your people be faithful. May all of us, Lord, seek to do your will to that end. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.